Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the October 2025 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by continuing Radio 101 by Ken Reitz, KS4ZR. Next Gen TV's Big Black Eye. Despite the hoopla surrounding the cord-cutting movement, now in its 16th year, as of 2025, 66.6 million households subscribe to either cable or satellite TV programming. Still a significant method of TV viewing in the U.S., the number of households that only stream online TV programming is said to be 47.6 million. Today, according to industry sources, over 88% of U.S. households both stream and watch OTA TV. The television viewing landscape over the last two generations has changed dramatically, and it's not through changing. How has ATSC 1.0's OTA TV promise held up? In my judgment, not well. While we all appreciate the 16:9 aspect ratio, which means that cinema movies fit well on the screen without letterboxing or chopping off the edges of the screen, as was done for decades, the magic of viewing 16:9 cinema screen is lost when the resolution is less than 1080. Many network feeds offered on OTA TV air at just 720, with additional subchannels airing at as little as 480. Resolution so poor, you would have to be desperate to watch the content. Since much of the programming that airs on such channels is in black and white from America's golden age of programming, which includes Father Knows Best, My Favorite Martian, Mr. Ed, it's no great loss. On the audio front, ATSC 1.0 also disappoints. In most cases, only the main network feed at best airs in Dolby Digital 5.1 surround sound. So listening through your 5.1 surround sound stereo and complicated speaker system is also lost. Three images on this page show first two men standing next to each other and facing the camera. They're in suits and ties. They are standing in front of the emblem of the Federal Communications Commission. They're both smiling, and the man on the right is showing a thumbs up. The caption reads, "Tyler the Antenna Man, right, and Lon Seedman, who also blogs on technology, had an appointment with the FCC August 14, 2025, to make a presentation in opposition to encryption of ATSC 3.0 programming on OTA TV. Courtesy Tyler the Antenna Man YouTube channel." The second image is a screenshot showing a listing of stations and the cities that they're in, and notes about the stations. The caption reads, "The Small Market OTA TV Advantage. Nearby Charlottesville, Virginia offers OTA TV viewers all of the major U.S. TV networks, including ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, PBS, and CW, without encryption. That's because each of these channels is offered only in old-fashioned ATSC 1.0, Kirka 2009. Who knows if they'll ever be blessed with ATSC 3.0 and encryption? It hardly matters because, thanks to the mountainous terrain, most viewers in that city watch via cable or satellite TV. Courtesy rabbitears.info." The third image is a screenshot of the description of a program. The caption reads, "Because ABC TV is owned by Disney, this network offers a lot of live sports throughout the year, but you won't see any of the action here. This screenshot shows that WRIC is broadcast in the exciting new 4K digital format known as ATSC 3.0, or Next Gen TV. We know this not because we are astounded by the video and audio, note no signal in the center of the screen, but because it displays the Next Gen TV logo proudly in the information panel. The reason there is no signal is that this channel is encrypted. If we use another device, we can watch an old-fashioned ATSC 1.0. KS4ZR photo. Back to the text. Wasn't the new next-gen TV, known as ATSC 3.0, supposed to give us brilliant 4K video and immersive audio, whatever that was supposed to mean? Yes, and those stations have been very slowly rolling out ATSC 3.0 across the U.S. over the last few years. But the main network channels, typically for ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, are encrypted. Wait a minute. I thought this was free OTA TV. What's going on? Our friend Tyler the Antenna Man, see the July 2025 edition of this column, went to the FCC in August and presented the case for unencrypted OTA ATSC 3.0 TV. You can see his video presentation here, youtube.com/C, that's the letter C, /antennaman. Look for the title, We Meet with the FCC. Behind the move to encrypt OTA TV is an organization known as A3SA, which states on their website, viewers are living in a golden age of content, but we are also living in an unparalleled period of signal theft, hacking, and piracy. Like the many insecure websites that still exist today and trigger security warnings when we try to access them, ATSC 1.0 broadcast services are vulnerable to these threats. But the new next-gen TV ATSC 3.0 broadcast standard requires, with respect to signal signing, and allows, with respect to encryption, the same security measures that protect users of newer, more secure websites from signal theft, hacking, and piracy. And the ATSC 3.0 Security Authority, A3SA, enables and operationalizes those protections in ATSC 3.0 broadcast services, thus enabling both broadcast TV content and its viewers to be more secure than ever before. A3SA is comprised of OTA TV broadcast interests, including OTA TV networks and TV set manufacturers. So, the OTA TV industry produced the new ATSC 3.0 broadcast TV standard to bring amazing video and audio, and many other untold benefits. Lowers your cholesterol? Makes you the life of the party? Except that it also hired a company to encrypt the programming to protect you from content piracy, and at the same time makes it so that you can't watch the programming. In today's upside-down world, that probably makes sense, except that in Tyler's presentation, he notes that one of the most important aspects of OTA TV is the dissemination of emergency broadcasts of impending weather disasters and other local fiascos that can best be done by local OTA media, including radio and TV, in conjunction with organizations such as the National Weather Service, National Hurricane Center, National Severe Storm Prediction Center, FEMA, and its various state versions, intended to be delivered via broadcast radio and television. This past spring, the National Association of Broadcasters, NAB, petitioned the FCC to sunset ATSC 1.0 for the top 55 U.S. markets by February 2028 and all U.S. TV markets by 2030. At this point, that would mean that, once again, viewers in 125 million households would be on the hook for ATSC 3.0 TV sets or converters. Does this nightmare seem familiar? It's deja vu all over again, as the great Yogi Berra once said. Two images on this page show first a screenshot of a TV. There's a news program on. A reporter woman is outside and she's talking to the camera and holding a microphone in her hand. The other image is a screenshot of a TV screen. There's a large body of water shown with a sailboat on it. Text in the middle of the screen says, "Europeans Stories." The captions read, "Not available via OTA TV or FTA satellite, CBC News, Euronews, and Reuters News, among many more. All air live on Roku's live TV app free of charge. KS4ZR Photos." Back to the text. I bought one of the first ATSC 3.0 TV sets, a Sony Bravia 43-inch set, now selling for $500 at Best Buy, if you have one near you. When my local TV stations went live with ATSC 3.0, I was ready. I say local because those stations are 40 miles away and require an amplified outdoor antenna on a rotator to pick up the signals. The picture was excellent. The audio was excellent, though in retrospect, I have to say no better than I'm currently seeing streaming through our local co-op power company's fiber optic cable. Then something odd happened. Within a year of ATSC 3.0 rollout in my area, the main network channels disappeared. At first, I thought it was due to the vagaries of living out in the country. Digital TV reception has had a tendency to come and go. But those channels never did come back. Rescanning often brought ATSC 1.0 versions of those network feeds, but not the real ATSC 3.0. It wasn't until watching Tyler's YouTube channel that I realized there was nothing wrong with my set, but there was plenty wrong with the OTA TV industry. Does this mean that we'll eventually be allowed to watch ATSC 3.0 programming if we pay A3SA a monthly fee? Probably not, though the option to offer pay-per-view programming via OTA TV would be possible. Instead, we'll probably need to register our set with A3SA and get a sign-in code to watch as we do now to sign up for Netflix or other streaming service. That would give the networks, the local TV stations, and their advertisers the one thing they have craved more than anything else: details about how many people are watching, exactly which households are watching, exactly where they are watching from, including their particular viewing habits. These are precious digital gold nuggets that are currently harvested by internet overlords such as Amazon, Google, Facebook, and all the rest. The broadcast industry would finally catch up to the internet in being able to monetize its audience, an industry dream since the dawn of the first NTSC broadcast so many decades ago. One thing that cable TV and satellite TV services provide is unfettered access to local TV channels. Both Dish Network and DirecTV satellite services include local channels in their programming packages. No need for a costly antenna, preamp, RG6 cable, rotator, and installation fees. With the cost of such OTA TV equipment rising, that's a big savings. Both companies also offer streaming-only packages, no dish required, with cancel-anytime policies. Cable TV companies have similar offers and policies. These channels will not be 4K ultra-high definition, or even likely 1080 resolution. But for those who live in dense urban and suburban areas, replacing a small dish or OTA TV antenna is an issue. That might be the way to go. Back to streaming. At the start of this column, I wrote about streaming OTA, AM, and FM stations via various apps. This is also an option for TV viewers today. I realize that for most viewers, live sporting events are what they want to watch most on TV, and that's one reason that cable and satellite TV and stream services such as Sling and DirecTV Online continue to thrive. But for some of us, content other than the usual broadcast fare is what we're looking for. That's why I like the MyTuner radio app, and why I like the Roku Live TV app. One example is being able to watch CBC News, something I was able to do for the better part of 20 years, when all CBC TV programming was available on C-band satellite TV. That is no longer the case, but thanks to Roku Live TV, I can watch CBC News, Euronews, Reuters News, Sky News, and many other live news sources that I can't see on free-to-air C or KU band satellite. It could be that OTA TV is an endangered technology, like a dinosaur lumbering through a modern landscape. The proliferation of high-speed internet, even in areas such as mine, has rendered such a clunky technology concept obsolete. And now, Medium Wave Radio by Lloyd Van Horn, W4LVH, W4LVHSC at gmail.com. AI for DXers, the next great advancement in DX technology. I was reviewing an IQ recording I made with my SDR of a sporadic e-opening on July 4th, 2025, from my home in Mandeville, Louisiana, when I ran into one of the great frustrations of DXer life, a strong but unidentifiable signal. As I was going through the recording, sitting on 94.9 megahertz, I heard a fade-up of a station promo that said something along the lines of, "Hey, Central Minnesota, it's Donnie. Join me tonight at 7 for Pop Fresh Nights." And that was it. They were gone. Now, as unidentifiable signals go, this one was actually pretty helpful. I had a general location, a possible DJ name, and a program name. Narrowing this down, though, was still going to take some work. FMList.org showed 6 different stations in Minnesota on this frequency. If I had heard that promo in Live DX when I first started FM DXing in the early 90s, it would have meant that I would have to break out a map and go station by station, trying to narrow down which were in central Minnesota and which stations might be the best fit. My chances of successfully being able to identify this station and getting it in my log would be rather narrow. Even in recent years, the process would still involve going to the website of each station, assuming they had one, and trying to narrow down which station has a program that matches something close to Pop Fresh Nights, starting at 7 p.m. But this is 2025, and I can now use a powerful new assistant to help me sort this out. I fired up my desktop version of ChatGPT and submitted the following prompt to Skip. That is the name he chose for himself, so we can make our interactions more personable. Hearing a radio station via sporadic E on 94.9 megahertz, from my location in Mandeville, Louisiana, the signal fades up and the DJ says, "Hey, Central Minnesota, it's Donnie. Join me tonight at 7 for Pop Fresh Nights." I'm trying to narrow down what radio station this could be. Skip came back with a list of probable stations, and then a recommendation. Most likely, KMXK, Mix 94.9, St. Cloud, Minnesota. Location, St. Cloud is considered central Minnesota. Frequency, 94.9 megahertz. Format, hot AC, perfect for something like Pop Fresh Nights. Past DJs have included names like Donnie or Donnie Michaels. Branding fits the vibe of your air check. Next step, check their current or past evening programming. Look for any references to Pop Fresh Nights or DJ Donnie. Search social media or station site for Donnie or past on-air personalities. As he suggested, I visited the KMXK website, and sure enough, they have a show that airs each night, Monday through Friday, starting at 7 p.m. called Pop Crush Nights, hosted by Donnie Meekum. Skip just helped me narrow my search down with very little effort and in a very short amount of time. Two images on this page show screenshots of the author's conversations with the AI chatbot. In one image, the text reads, "Why WKRL WKRH K-Rock fits?" Frequency 106.5 FM is one of the K-Rock simulcast frequencies in the Syracuse area. Local references adds referencing Syracuse Nationals, Memories on Main, etc., suggest a station with strong Syracuse area local content. K-Rock is deeply Syracuse-rooted. Promos, community events. Rock stations like K-Rock commonly run car show and nostalgia event promotions, e.g. Memories on Main style. Sponsorship, local business sponsorship. Thomas J. Pirol, spelling, could be a local sponsor in Syracuse region, consistent with how K-Rock does underwriting or ads. The text on the other screenshot image says, "Conclusion, your mystery station is almost certainly WKRL, WKRH, K-Rock, 106.5 FM, Syracuse, New York. Probably picking up their promo for a local car show classic car gathering. If you caught either, the tagline, It's Just Rock, or It Just Rocks, which K-Rock uses, or any mention of K-Rock Syracuse, or 106.5, or Galaxy Communications, you'd have a smoking gun. Let me know if you want me to format this as a log entry for your article." The caption for these two images reads, "Part of the author's conversation with Skip shows Skip analyzing the web content from two possible FMDX candidates for reception on 106.5 FM. There's much more to the analysis, including Skip's conclusion below, courtesy of the author." Back to the text. The revolution is here. You undoubtedly heard a lot about AI these days. Some good stuff, some scary stuff. When I first dove into the world of AI, I didn't think there would be much opportunity for a DXer to use this new tool in their pursuits of distant radio stations. Was I ever wrong? Scenarios like the one described above are just one of the many ways we can incorporate AI into our DX toolbox to make us better DXers, more informed DXers, and get more stations in the logbook. How do you get started? Choosing the right AI tool. Every day there is another AI tool coming online, so it can be a bit difficult to know which ones can help with your DX. OpenAI's ChatGPT is probably the most popular and widely used AI interface. I even downloaded the ChatGPT app for my desktop computer, so I have a dedicated program I can turn to when I need to partner with my AI assistant for help. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.